With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'll drop that motherfucker.
Recorded from the heart of the Music City, Nashville, Tennessee.
What's his name? Fucking Shrek?
Hey man, every book is a children's book if the kid can read.
So Bros Network brings to you the So Bros Power Hour.
Four of us wolves running around the desert together in Las Vegas, looking for strippers and cocaine.
That's cute. I remember when I had my first beer.
Let the SoBrosNetwork.com team get you to your weekend faster.
I just don't know how to express myself sometimes when I need to be properly different.
This is the So Bros Power Hour Podcast.
I'm going to Shabooms!
Lord have mercy, I'm about to bust.
It is finally Friday. We are free again, getting our motors running for a wild weekend here on the So Bros Power Hour. Minds right, asses tight as we tackle this week's episode for you today. I am your host of the So Bros Power Hour, the EIC at So Bros Network, Mr. Big Natural, Stoney Keeley. You can follow me on Twitter at Stoney Keeley. Follow us collectively at So Bros Network on all major social media platforms. Joined this week by my co-host from Phone It In. If you're not checking out Phone It In, you're missing out. Go subscribe to that show wherever you take in your podcasts. We just did an episode on Dark Matter, and it was fucking awesome. We've got the Cryptid Queen herself, Rooster, sitting in for an episode of the Power Hour. Rooster, how you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. I'm sleepy.
Yeah, I'm kind of sleepy too. It's been a sleepy kind of day here in Nashville. It was snowing this morning, but not, you know, the frustrating kind where... It was the frustrating kind of snow where, like, it came down, but everything was so warm that it stuck for like an hour and then
it just melted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it was kind of like half rain, half snow. And then it was just gloomy and cloudy for the rest of the day. So I'm kind of like sitting here thinking, actually, what am I talking about? It is 9 o'clock on a Friday morning, of course. It is a beautiful day. No, this is being recorded on Thursday, and it's been a gloomy shit day here in Nashville. And I had to take my cat to the vet today to get his nails trimmed, and he hates it. He cried the whole way there and the whole way back. So
yeah, that's tough.
I'm kind of looking forward to cutting this episode, and then I'm going to go cook some sweet and sour chicken for dinner, and I'm just going to prop my feet up the rest of the night.
That sounds nice.
How are things in good old GR?
They're good. It's been like snowing all day and it's sticking. It's very, there's a lot of snow outside. I finally got some snow pants.
How about that? Okay.
Yeah. I had to look around for ones that don't make you look like, you know, you're either going skiing or you're a fireman, you know, like real thick, puffy pants. It's like, I'm just walking around in snow and I don't want my jeans to get wet. Like, what do I need to do to find some pants that won't get wet? But
That's
so I finally
cool.
have those.
How long has there been snow on the ground in Grand Rapids?
Just since yesterday.
Oh, so it, because I feel like it wasn't too long ago you posted pictures of quite a bit of snow on the ground, and I wondered if it was that kind of place where, like, sometimes when we go visit family in New Jersey, there will be snow on the ground, but they all tell us like, oh yeah, it snowed like a month ago, but that's just the leftover that's still melting, still thawing away.
I think that is what's usually supposed to happen here. But it's been a very mild winter, so it keeps warming up. So it all melts after like a week or so.
See, I'm afraid that we've missed our good snow here in Nashville because my wife and I were up in New Jersey for Christmas, and that's the only time it snowed here season so far.
Yeah.
So I want what you have is what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah, it's supposed to snow for like the next couple of days too and not get warm. So we'll see.
Do you have enough groceries to get some good crock pot recipes going? Are you going to cook a stew in weather like that?
We had stew yesterday, actually.
My goodness, ahead of the game. Always a step
Mm-hmm.
ahead. Rooster, it feels like January has lasted 6 months. I know this kind of happens every year, but how are you holding up? Have you kept busy? Does it feel different for you?
I'm fine. I love winter.
Okay. I love
I
winter
love
too.
gloominess. Yeah.
I love winter too, but it does feel like it's just been, I don't know. It just feels like things are dragging on right now.
You know, I agree. I think sometimes January does feel super long, but then I think about how long ago New Year's was, and it doesn't actually feel that long ago. But
yeah,
time is weird.
Time is weird. That's right.
I feel like the older we get, the faster it seems to go.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder why that is. I mean, do you know any of the science behind that?
Yeah, actually. it's because when you're a kid, you don't have a lot to compare it to, you know? So, like,
yeah.
If your whole life has been, like, 10 years, then time seems to move slower. But when you've lived through a lot more time.
Yeah.
You know? Does
yeah.
that make sense? I've looked that up, so I've read that somewhere, but I don't know.
I'm not
a scientist.
I had heard theorized that that happens because you experience less new stimuli as you get older. Like when you're a kid.
Yeah, like same essential thing, really.
Yeah, well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right. You are right. Yeah, we're basically saying the same thing.
I mean, yeah, that goes hand in hand.
How many hands do you have?
Three. I thought it was obvious.
I would love to hear you clap. Do you still clap with only two hands? That's
yeah,
a good.
Yeah, it just makes more sense that way. It's hard to clap with three hands. One's getting in the way, not really contributing much.
That sounds like a good Sobros mailbag question. If you had three hands, would you still clap with only two, or would you clap with all three? I mean, you could do it.
I mean, it would be hard because you would do it at an angle, you know, like a triangle.
Could you hear that?
It does not sound like clapping hands.
Yeah. So, well, we're breaking down the human experience of time on this week's Power Hour to get us off to a hot start. Do want to talk about some stuff this week, some actual news to get to. Namely, they just announced today, or excuse me, yesterday, they announced that John Mayer is coming to Nashville, which I'm stoked because I love John Mayer. And I just want to ask, if you were still in Nashville, would you be stoked about seeing John Mayer too?
No.
You don't like John Mayer? Not at all.
I don't listen to John Mayer, no.
Have you ever at any point in your life listened to John Mayer?
I'm sure I've heard a song here and there, but no.
Man. It's just, you know, some of his bluesy stuff is just kind of takes my breath away. That's all.
Your Body is a Wonderland?
That's him. That's the one.
Yeah, that's like the only song I know.
Well, I hate going to concerts, so I'm probably not going to go. But I know there are a whole lot of people, if you live under a rock in Nashville, that might have missed that. If you live in Nashville but listen to this podcast but don't keep up with the news, that's who.
And you're under a rock.
And you're under a rock. That's who I wanted to inform with that story. The Oscar nominations came out this week. A big deal around Sobros HQ. We got a lot of movie critics around here. Did you care at all about the Oscar nominations? And have you seen any of the pictures nominated for Best Picture?
I don't care. I never watch it. I never really pay attention to it.
It's long. It's hard to get through.
I'm usually not one for like Oscar movies too.
Okay.
Like I don't know. I kind of like some lowbrow movies personally, but no,
yeah.
I think I saw some of them. I saw the Elvis movie. It was the first time I went to theaters to see a movie in since before the pandemic started.
No way. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that movie. That's one of, you know, it's crazy. The Music City Film Critics Association released their awards at the beginning of January, 6 months ago. And I had seen 8 of the 10 nominees, and I felt so good about myself. I'm like, man, I'm going to be on it this award season. And then the Oscar noms come out, and I've seen like 4 of the 10 nominees.
Well, you've seen a lot more movies. You've been watching a lot more movies lately.
I like it. I like it. I do enjoy a good movie from time to time. And I like reliving old ones. I've been doing that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So my annual list, because I don't know. I think you can make too many rules when you're just writing shit on the internet. Like, I don't want to rank the new movies that are out, but then also make a separate article ranking all the movies that I've seen for the first time. So I just lump them all together in one list when I write it. Like, Silence of the Lambs was my 4th best movie of 2022.
That's a good one. 4th best. What was above it?
I liked The Banshees of Inisherin quite a bit. That was my number one. I liked Coda. I technically saw Coda in January, I believe. And then I believe RRR is right up there.
RRR. I saw that. I loved that. That was a great movie.
I thought so too. I was completely captivated. I can remember I was super sweaty watching that movie because I was so into it. I was also dancing. I was trying to
It had like something for everybody. There was so much going on.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. I was hoping that it would get in the international feature at the Oscars. But apparently, as Brandon pointed out, India did not make that their official selection for that award. So that was kind of surprising.
Yeah, that's weird. That is surprising. Yeah.
Are you reading anything good these days?
I just finished a book by Tana French.
Okay, there's your name. You were rehearsing that. You got it.
Yeah. I had no idea. I was going to say Tana.
I probably.
Or Tana.
Yeah.
Have I forgotten already how to pronounce it? I think it was Tana. I think it was Tana.
I thought you were saying Tana before we started recording.
Maybe it's Tana. I don't know. It's kind of, it's an Irish name. She's Irish. So I just read The Searcher, which I think was her most recent book. I've read all of her stuff now. She's a really good mystery author.
Ooh, okay. I've never heard of her.
She did The Dublin Murder Squad is kind of a series. It's not following the same person. It switches up between people.
Okay.
But they're all like detectives, The Dublin Murder Squad. Those are great. The last two books have not been Dublin Murder Squad, and they're not as great.
I mean,
she's still a good writer. It's just a little boring.
I just finished, speaking of the Irish, I just finished the book on, it's a Thomas Cahill book called How the Irish Saved Civilization. And it's pretty interesting. You get a little St. Patrick in there, you know, kind of educating Ireland and bringing a lot of ancient texts there that ended up surviving like all the Viking raids and shit like that, and how, you know, I don't think the Irish really get the credit they deserve for preserving a lot of that knowledge and that text that might not have survived that era of the world. So pretty fascinating look there if you're a history nerd. I will say, like, yeah, it's nonfiction and it is pretty dry. It's like a constant flow of information coming at you. So it's not a knock on the author. I just know some people can take that and some people can't. So those are our book recommendations for this week. Our Nashville stories of the week. Let's get on into it. This first one comes to us courtesy of News Channel 5. Extras needed for new Nicole Kidman movie being filmed in Nashville. Actress Nicole Kidman will soon star in a feature film, and your help is needed. Over the next few months, the film crew will search for extras across Nashville, ranging in ages from 3 to 75 years old, for the thriller film Holland, Michigan. And they don't tell us, like, all the news stations in town, and maybe this is, you know, I'm going to be a little critical. All of them just say you're needed for this Nicole Kidman movie. Nobody tells us what this fucking movie is about. I had to go on to IMDb and look it up, but it sounds kind of cool. A thriller centered on a woman who suspects her husband is cheating and enters into an affair of her own. That's always the way to handle when you find out your partner.
Revenge. Yeah.
Before learning her husband's true dark Secret Life. You know what? I'm intrigued. I like Nicole Kidman. To me, though, I was kind of blown away this week by how much the news stations were talking about this. Because, like, to me, it's like, oh, this would be a nice little article to run on the website and get out on socials and stuff. But, like, it's been on the news with the anchors talking about it and everything. And I'm just like, you know, like, is it really that big of a deal? Or am I being an old curmudgeon here?
That's pretty cool. If I still lived in Nashville, I would try and be an extra.
Okay. Yeah.
But what's weird is that they wouldn't do that for everything. Like, how many music videos are being shot there all the time? You know, like, do they always like put out that people are looking for extras? Because I'm sure it happens more often than just Nicole Kidman filming a movie.
That's a good point. A good question. I would assume that it is because Nicole Kidman's name is attached to it. She's royalty around these parts now. And it's a feature film too, so I don't know. I guess
Holland, Michigan's not far from here too, so that's funny.
Is that right? Oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Does it look anything like Nashville?
I don't think I've been there. I think Holland's on the lake.
Just imagining this movie set in Holland, Michigan, and there's just broad sweeping skylines or shots of the Nashville skyline in it. That sounds like something I would do. Story number two from WLWT5 in Cincinnati. Bengals game ball delivered to a brewery in Nashville. The Cincinnati Bengals postseason tradition of sharing victory game balls continues and has stretched all the way to Nashville. Started by head coach Zach Taylor after the Bengals won their first playoff game in 31 years against the Las Vegas Raiders. That was last year. Game ball number 5 out of 6 was delivered to Tailgate Brewery Music Row. Apparently, the group Nashville Bengals Fan Club meets at the brewery to watch Bengals games. I know there's going to be a lot of Titans fans in Nashville that are kind of ticked off at Tailgate for this, but I'm not going to hate them for getting business. And from the Bengals, this is a pretty cool thing to do. Where do you stand on this as a gesture?
No, that's neat. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it would be a lot of work to find like every Bengals bar for every game that you've played this season and send out game balls for, but you know, I get it. Like you come to Nashville in January of 2022, you upset the top-seeded Tennessee Titans in the playoffs and you have a bunch of fans cheering you on in town. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I think it's kind of a cool gesture. I think it's nice of them to remember.
Do these places, like, kind of raise their hand, like, I would like a ball? Or do they just totally pick one randomly?
No, this is the Bengals, I'm trying to think. I would guess, I don't know this for sure, I should have looked this up. I would guess they are sending the game balls to places that they have gone to and won big games in. And it's the head coach.
Oh, so it's
saying,
kind of a dick move.
I don't think it's a dick move, though. I think it's saying, you know, your fan base is here. It meets at Tailgate. So the Bengals fans in Nashville meet at Tailgate to watch the Bengals games. So we're going to send them a game ball to recognize them and that part of our fan base. Like, I would be cool if the Titans did that for a city, like, but I could also see how the city would be kind of like,
that's true.
Fucking,
I mean,
pricks.
If they know that the fan base meets there, yeah, then sure.
I'm just like thinking about, the Titans delivering a game ball to a bar in Baltimore or something. Like, I don't know that would be very well received. So I get that.
See?
But
yeah.
I'm cool with the gesture for a team going above and beyond to support its fans in this day and age. Okay, the Tennessean. Should Nashville's exit in be a historic landmark? Here's why it's being considered. According to the submission documents, exit in is being considered for its, quote, exceptional local significance in performing arts and entertainment and recreation. The venue's significance spans from 1971 to 1979, when its reputation was first established as one of the nation's premier artist showcase venues. Then continuing to its transformation into a modern rock hall from 1980 to around 1988, when Nashville was recognized as a site of rock renaissance. I know our friends at Southern Underground Pro have even run a wrestling show out of that building. I don't know too much about what exactly. See, we've done this on the Power Hour before where it kind of feels like this headline makes people think like, oh, well, if it's a historic landmark, then nobody can touch it. They don't tell you that there's really not. It's not like because it's a historic landmark that it can just never be destroyed or anything like that moving forward. But general idea of doing something like this in Nashville, it's interesting to think about because I don't think the conversation stops at Exit Inn with all the other legendary venues in town. And I think that's where, to me, I look at it and I'm like, okay, well, if we do this, we're going to have to do this and this and this too. What do you think about this, and would you consider Exit Inn some of these Nashville historic venues, historic landmarks?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Stuff doesn't have to be, like, super old for it to be a historic landmark.
Yeah, I'm with it. Like, I don't think it's I don't really think it's that big of a deal. Like, I think it should be – I mean, it's a part of Nashville's history.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're willing to do it for Exit Inn, like, are you okay with just going on and just doing it for more venues?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, if stuff has a significant, like, footprint, you know, in Nashville, why not recognize that?
Yeah. Did you have a favorite venue in Nashville when you were still here, going to concerts and shows?
Not really. I just don't go to a lot of shows.
I haven't been on the scene in a long time. So like all the old ones kind of blur together.
I don't hate seeing live music. It's just, I don't know. Being around that many people just makes me claustrophobic.
It's too loud. I mean, it's too loud for me. I can't hear anything.
It's loud. It's too many people. It's too late at night when I just want to be chilling at home.
Yeah.
So it's got to be somebody I really love to go see stuff.
There was a venue, I don't know if it's still there. I'd have to look it up. And I actually can't even remember the name of it. The Anchor, or maybe The Anchor. I don't know. I saw He Is Legend there, and it reminded me of like an old church that was pretty cool. And I'm like, you know, bring that back to Nashville. And you know what? Now that I say that out loud, I realize how stupid it is because I don't even know what is going on in Nashville. There could very well be venues like that out there that I'm just not aware
of. Especially a lot because it takes a lot for me to go out to one. I don't really go a lot to those little smaller venues, so
yeah
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you like a favorite one, you know, because I don't really go to them.
Where I lost my place. Sorry, I had to plug in my MacBook. I didn't do that before we started recording. Shit. Nashville Business Journal. The Tennessee Ale Trail launches as the state's craft beer industry expands. This is pretty fucking cool. I'm stoked about this. Though Tennessee is known for its whiskey, its craft brewing industry is gaining traction and poised for continued growth. The Tennessee Craft Brewers Guild, founded in 2012, launched the Tennessee Ale Trail on January 23rd with participation from over 60 breweries from across the state. Apparently, you can pay a fee and you're a member and you get to do all this cool stuff and you go and drink beer at all these wonderful breweries here in Tennessee. You've been away from Nashville for quite a while now, and there's been a few new breweries pop up since you've been gone, but I know even back then you still had some of the more well-known breweries, the Yazoo and Tailgate and Yeehaw and stuff like that. But there's a lot of really good breweries in Nashville, and I think my favorite would pretty easily be Bearded Iris right now. I think Bearded Iris's Homestyle IPA is the best beer brewed out of Nashville right now. When you were still living here, though, that being the context of this question, what was your favorite beer in town?
Oh, I normally just got Dos Perros.
Dos Perros, still kicking. Mm-hmm. I get that at Nectar Urban Cantina when I go get some tacos. They drop a lime in it, and it's a pretty good dark beer.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
I'm with you there. Our last Nashville story of the week comes to us courtesy of the Tennessee Tribune. It's all I wrote down for the headline was Smoothie King. So I guess I forgot. I guess I'm slipping up on my part there. Smoothie King, the original U.S. smoothie franchise, today announced Nashville will be some of the first to try its new product lineup of smoothie bowls before they roll out nationwide in April. Starting January 10th, Tennesseans can try these fresh and deliciously satisfying bowls at 22 locations in the Nashville area. Rooster, I don't know if you like looked at this, but like they're just.
But yeah, what is a smoothie bowl?
It's just a fucking bowl of fruit. Now
that's not why. So when I read this, I was like, is it going to be like a bowl of yogurt or something, kind of like a smoothie sort of? I don't know. But so, and then you wrote that it's just bowls of fruit. So I don't really know how you get off calling that a smoothie bowl.
I noted, like, you know, hey, back in the day, people were saying, what, you're just going to put water in a bottle and sell it and people are going to buy it? Now that's a massive industry. But I'm just picturing, like, they make the smoothie as they normally would, but they put it in a bowl and give you a spoon instead.
That's what I pictured.
Yeah.
Because bottled water is bottled water. A smoothie bowl, like a bowl of fruit, that seems misleading.
Yeah, I don't like it. I'm going to go to Publix and keep getting my fruit bowls there, because Smoothie King probably going to charge you $15 for that shit.
Yeah.
Get it for $5 at Publix.
Well, it's not cheap at Publix either. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but still, I don't know. Well, I mean, listen, Smoothie King, you tried. I don't know if Smoothie King's hurting for business that they're trying to draw people in for something like this, but I mean, when I go to Smoothie King, I want a smoothie. I can't imagine going to Smoothie King and being like, no, I want the chunks before
well,
you put
funny,
it in the blender.
Right. Or like, are people going there and like, you know what? I want something healthier than a smoothie. Do you have anything healthier than a smoothie? A smoothie just tastes too sweet. Can I just have the fruit?
How many people?
Fruit is sweet.
How many people drove through the Smoothie King, read the menu, and were like, I don't want smoothies. I want the fruit. And they're finally like, fuck, we got to serve these people. We got to give them a bowl of fruit.
Yeah. Like if people show up and like, so what? You're a place that does smoothies and you can't give me any fruit. I just want some fucking fruit.
Or, you know, I picture like the meeting room from all the higher ups at Smoothie King. And they're like, we need some new ideas to really get some new business for our brand. And one guy is just like, we got all this fruit sitting around the stores. Okay, so we're back for real on the Sobros Power Hour. I think we're going to try and at least record as long as we can until we can't anymore and go from there. I think it was this CNN article with all these bogus ads that just set my computer over the top with Skype running at approximately... it looks like 80% of my CPU usage. So, and then I was getting disk errors too. So it just like weighs everything down anyway.
Disk errors.
An iceberg roughly the size of London breaks off in Antarctica. I just thought, hey, this is pretty fucking wild to see the renderings of this happening. Because London, I don't know if you know this, Rooster, London is not a small city by any stretch of the imagination. And I just, you know, I read this and I think they don't sound too panicked about it in the article. And what's weird is like they even acknowledge like they don't think this is because of climate change, but then they go on to like repeatedly mention rising temperatures. And I'm like, well, isn't that climate change? I don't get it, but this is pretty fucking wild.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's going to set more records with, you know.
Record last year.
Accelerating impacts of climate change. But this doesn't have anything to do with climate change. Like, excuse me?
Yeah, I want to know who sourced this article. Let's just turn this whole bit into shitting on CNN, because their fucking website is full of ads that kill your computer, and two, they're giving us some mixed signals in this one too. I can't imagine this.
Rachel Ramirez contributed to this report. So
who else contributed? Blame.
It doesn't say.
Yeah.
It just Ted says, Scambos, a glaciologist at the University of Colorado Boulder.
That's a made up name if I ever heard it.
Ted Scambos. I mean, scam is in the name, so.
Yeah, that's what this came into CNN's inbox with that name, and they were like, oh, shit.
Hi, this is Ted Scambos, and I have something to tell you.
I'm a glaciologist, and this happened, and somebody somewhere is just sitting laughing that CNN actually published this.
How about let's try and do that. Let's make up a name and a profession. Or a field of study, and just email somebody with some bullshit.
Just to see.
I bet this chunk of ice didn't even fall off.
You're probably right. You are probably right. You're the smartest person I know. So I believe you. Oh, man. Now I'm going to be thinking about fake names and fake professions for the rest of the day. I'm trying to think of somebody named like Rex studies hot air balloons, says the gases on the planet are, I don't know.
About Rex Koenig. I think that's king in German. So you could have king in two different languages.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. And I am a gaseous-ist. And there's too much hot air in the planet, and clouds are starting to break off into and detach from Earth's gravity.
Detach.
And they're floating in space now.
I like that. That sounds cool. It has nothing to do with climate change, though.
Nothing to do with climate change. And if they saw
a cloud the size of Cahokia just broke off and is floating
in space, and if it reaches the sun will explode. Let's see if we can get Rachel Ramirez to run with that.
I like it.
Okay, we've broken down the science enough, adequately. Our listeners are more informed after that discussion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I saw this asked on the Futurology subreddit. It's one of my favorite subreddits to read, and I always love talking about shit like this when you're on the Power Hour. It's almost like it turns into a mini phone-it-in episode. But I saw this question asked, and I immediately thought, ooh, we got to talk about that. Will we ever see a time where we could relive or be able to play back and watch old memories? Also, if you could, would you do that?
I was trying to think about this, and I don't know. Like, I don't think so. I don't think we will live in a time where we can record memories. I don't know.
Well,
that's possible.
I mean, it wouldn't be possible for us because we couldn't. I don't like they can't retroactively.
You're
talking about time travel, literally going.
So you
back
mean
in
like
time.
Film something and then just watch it.
Well, like, you know, from this point moving forward, if I were to plug something into my brain that was recording my entire existence, you know, like January 27th, 2023 forward, I could like log in and just be like, oh, I want to go back to February 14th of 2023 and watch what happened that day. But it's like I couldn't go back to my childhood memories because the technology does not exist. But like, you know, if they start,
so like an implant that would be actively recording.
Yeah, like they plug this into a baby that's born today's head. What did I just say? I don't know. I've been it's been a stressful fucking week after a stressful month. If they, you know, a baby's born today and they implant one of these things into its head, it can relive its entire life. Like by the time it gets to 80 years old and, you know, is eating applesauce and can't remember anything, it can go back and say, I want to go back to 2023. Life expectancy will still be 80 years old whenever we're in the future. It can go back and rewatch its life. For us, it's just like, you know, is it going to Like I won't miss out on, well, you know, I guess if I could get it now, the day comes that we have a family, you know, by the time I'm older, I could go back and relive those memories of my kid's childhood. So, you know, maybe, I don't know.
I don't think I would want it.
It also seems like pretty dangerous, probably pretty primitive mm-hmm. technology still. So I wouldn't want to be one of the first people that they did this to.
I mean, memory's tricky, you know, so like it warps and changes over time, and we're really open to suggestion when it comes with memory.
Sure.
But I think that's kind of, you know, a good thing. Wouldn't it be weird if you could go back and watch a memory like perfectly recorded and it's just not how you remembered it? I feel like that would be weird.
Yeah. And similar question to that. What if like you're carrying this fond memory with you your entire
life?
And that memory sometimes brings you joy and brings you comfort. And then you go back and experience it and realize like you've got it all wrong. So then you don't have that comforting factor anymore.
Well, like, and when you're in the moment, you know, you were feeling great about it. So then like it sort of has like this kind of magical little shimmer in your mind, but you go back and you watch it and like, oh, that was just a stupid fucking weird moment that wasn't that nice at all, really.
You're opening Pandora's box here, futurology.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know that I like that.
Never mind. I'm not going
to
say that.
I mean, I see the benefits for like when people, like if you have to go to court, you know, like memory is not reliable, but this would be a lot more reliable.
I mean, you could also just wear a body cam for your
entire life.
That's
what I was
going to
say. It'd be almost like just a fucking body cam.
But in your skull. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess if you do have dementia, that would be nice.
Yeah. But sure.
That's weird.
Well, our final story from this week's episode comes to us courtesy of KTLA. Authentic Splash Mountain water sells on eBay after ride closes at Walt Disney World. While Disney fans enjoyed one last ride aboard Splash Mountain ahead of its closure at Walt Disney World on Monday, some eBay sellers aimed to cash in on the somber moment by claiming to have water from the famous log ride. Multiple sellers on the e-commerce website are selling small quantities of, quote, genuine Splash Mountain water. That sounds gross, by the way. For $20, $25, and $45, merchants claim that the water was collected during the attraction's final... During the ride, they got in the fucking thing, and they're trying to scoop up water.
Scooping up.
Mm-hmm. The roller coasters going by.
I think people do this with the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, too.
Man, that's crazy. One listing has an asking price of $1,000. I don't trust people enough to go for this. I mean, no. I wouldn't want, like, to me, this is a really weird story.
That's what I was going to say. If you knew it was genuine, would you still want it? Because who cares?
No.
Who cares?
You could ask me if I wanted a jar of water from the Grizzly River Rampage, and I would say hell no, even though I love Opryland. And there's our obligatory weekly Opryland mention. But it's just water in a jar.
Yeah.
I mean,
people get real weird about Disney. I mean, like I said, I think they do this with Pirates of the Caribbean shit. I think there's like supposed to be a candle or something that smells like the ride because, you know, it's supposed to be sort of like sea salty and I don't know. I don't know. I remember hearing about this and then I've gone to the ride and been like, okay, let me just make sure I really experience this because people pay money for this fucking water. And I go there, I'm like, it just smells like water. It smells like, I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean, listen, hustlers out there, make your money. If people are willing to, if you can get away with it, shit, maybe we try that too. We're going to try and scam Rachel Ramirez and I'm going to go fill a jar with water and say that it's, you know, been, I don't know, from the summit of Everest.
And then who's to say it doesn't get like weird and moldy.
I know, you would think over time that jar would get pretty gross, and then, I mean, what do you do with the water?
I mean, how's that fucking Bigfoot snow globe I made you? Is yours looking moldy yet?
It is. Well, I don't know. It's on top of my bookcase, and I haven't looked at it in a while, so maybe it is.
I got like weird little chunks of creatures grown in mine.
Oh, cool. All right. Damn, I was planning on drinking it too.
Now, yeah, I can't. I wouldn't want that.
Well,
we could sell it for $45.
As Bigfoot's water. Like, we got this from Bigfoot's canteen that he carries around.
It's murky enough that I would believe that.
Yeah. Well, interdimensional mythical being water. Yeah. So that's it, Rooster. That is our Sobros Power Hour for the week, which means we have made it to our closing icebreaker. Talking about the future, I wanted to ask you, what excites you the most about the future? Things that we might, within our lifetime, be able to experience. Well, and my answer is going to completely disregard that, by the way, but just pretend I didn't say that. What excites you the most about the future?
I like that you wrote down here an uprising against war.
Yeah.
Is that still going to be yours? Because that sounds great.
Well, that is, yeah, the last part I don't think we're, or the next part I don't think we're going to get to experience, but the second item I listed, I should say. But yeah, I kind of hope that like people start realizing that work and the culture of work, at least here in the United States, is just kind of fucked, and we should strive to live our lives better and not bust our asses to line the pockets of greedy corporate types, and like corporate America just in general.
And I don't know I don't know how realistic this one, but sort of similar enough in that it would be nice if our healthcare got better.
Yeah, for sure.
And
for
it wasn't like just fucking privatized insurance bullshit where you have to be an expert in your insurance and you have to do just it. It makes you not want to go to the doctor because you have to
absolutely
look up all these different places and you don't know which kind of doctor you need necessarily, but then you have to figure out if they take your insurance. And then when you make an appointment, it's like some of the benefits people are saying are like, oh, you know, but we can see a doctor faster than places with like free healthcare. And no, you can't. No, like, you know, I made an appointment like a fucking month ago for a doctor. And so I still had to go to urgent care so I could get some fucking medication that I need.
Yeah, it's all fucked. And I don't know. Do you feel like this sentiment is starting to rise in younger people? That younger folks are starting to kind of realize our attitude towards this is kind of shitty.
Absolutely. And yeah. I do wonder how things will change as the older generations start to die off, which sounds horrible saying that.
No, I'm cool with it. I say that all the time. I'm just sitting in my room by myself, like, can't wait for all these old people to die. I'm kidding.
We just have to hope that, you know, old millennials don't fuck it up and be stupid once we get to that age.
Yeah.
And like keep things from changing for the better.
I feel like a change in attitude is one thing, but as we continue to automate so much in the workforce, and I know the counter to this is always that, well, you know, it's just going to create new jobs that we haven't thought of. But, you know, for argument's sake here, I mean, let's say that it does have the impact that some project that it will have on the workforce, like, there might come a time within our lifetimes where things are kind of forced to change, or else like there will be like some pretty dire situations if you
absolutely.
We don't have to go into all the prognostications and scenario plans and stuff like that that are out there. There's a rabbit hole. But I just feel like people should enjoy their lives a little more and make life should be a little bit easier. And hopefully we are working towards that.
I remember when people first started talking about like automation really taking over everything and be like, well, at least we can still have like the arts and whatever. And it's hilarious because now we have like AI painting shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are already large publications. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe the LA Times is one of them where they have AI writing articles. I mean, it's writing super articles, fucking easy.
The chat GPT or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you just collect and report facts and it's,
they can write books now, movies.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I kind of feel like that is a realistic goal. And then I also jotted down that I would like to, for us to achieve immortality. That would be pretty cool. I don't know if we'll ever get there, even if it's just like putting my consciousness into a robot. Like I would be cool with that. I would be cool with leaving my, human body behind. But my question was, you know, I don't want to get stuck where like I'm 80 years old and then they've discovered the secret to immortality and they're like, do you want to be immortal now? And I'm going to be like, well, fuck, you know, 40 years ago, this would have been awesome, but I don't want to be an 80-year-old man forever, you know?
But if you could be immortal at 80, I bet at that point, or eventually they'll find ways for you to not feel like an 80-year-old anymore, you know?
Reverse aging. Or by the time I am 80, 80 is like the new 50 or something like that.
I don't know. Kids act like 30 is the new 50, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God, you're so old now. It's like, you will be here in 5 years. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. So like if somebody came to me today and they said, hey, if you take this pill, you will live forever. I'd be like, you know, I can deal with this. I'm a little fat. I'm a little porky. My knees and my back hurt quite a bit, but I'm not, you know, disabled at this point. So I could still get by. And if I could get back into shape, you know, I think I'd be pretty content with that.
But what if reincarnation is real and, you know, you would come back as a house cat and you're really just depriving yourself of that?
Well, that's true. That is a potential consequence, the risk you run. I don't know. Because then you think about it. I feel like I don't want to take this to
it. What if reincarnation is real? So everybody's born doesn't die anymore, so there's nobody else being born because all the souls are, you know what I'm saying?
They're still occupying bodies. Oh, man. Yeah. I like that. All right, we'll just end on that note.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That is a good one.
Okay.
Rooster, remind our listeners of how they can find you on social media.
At Sobro Rooster on Twitter and Rooster Chase on Instagram.
About that. I am at Stony Keeley, at Sobros Network on all major social media platforms. Check out all of our work at sobrosnetwork.com. Our merch is up at sobroshop.com. Support the team through Patreon and gain instant access to an exhaustive content library featuring hundreds of articles, videos, podcasts alike. It's all up there. $5 a month gets you instant access. That's patreon.com/SoBrosNetwork. Subscribe to the Sobros Power Hour on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, wherever you take in your shows. We are out there. Give us a rating and a review whenever you have a moment. That's how we get better. And we always want to be better for you guys. For the Cryptid Queen Rooster, I am Big Natural Stony Keeley. And until next time, you stay classy, Nashville.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.